Show with hosts Gay Hilton and George Juhas. This riveting show will help you find balance and energy while guiding you on your vibrational journey. Now here are your hosts, Drs. Gay Hilton and George Juhas.
Hi, we welcome you today, our global audience. Today and every Wednesday to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes, as we peer into the world of vibration. Realize that we consist of an energy field and that the food we eat, the water we drink, the environment we are surrounded by, the thoughts we think, all directly affect this energy field. We're essentially like a human PC. If you are acquainted with the powerful and best-selling nonfiction book and DVD, The Secret, you will find Good Vibes, Bad Vibes, the next step to empowerment in many realms of the energy field, which are all are directly impacting our lives. Now, let me introduce to you my co-host, Dr. George Juhas, a traditional naturopathic doctor and clinical hypnotherapist, and he will introduce our guest today. Hi, George.
Hello, Gay. Hello, everyone. It is my great pleasure to introduce today's guest, a friend and colleague of mine, Dr. Greg Friedman. Greg is a medical doctor and who is a medical hypnotherapist in private practice in Boulder, Colorado. And today he will be discussing techniques to energetically protect yourself from people and situations that drain your vibrational energy and make you feel insignificant, as well as ways to surround yourself with positive influences that inspire and support you to become happy and successful. Join me in welcoming Dr. Greg Friedman as we explore empowered living, claiming your power while protecting yourself from negative influences. Delighted to have you with us today, Greg.
I'm very happy to be here, George. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, you're most welcome. Greg, many people find themselves stuck in unhealthy and unfulfilling relationships. And certainly the law of magnetic attraction is operant in relationships where negatively or positively fixated people tend to attract like-minded individuals and desirable events to themselves. Greg, our listeners may be wondering, how do we transition from a negative to a positive situation in terms of a relationship? And in the process, for example, is it selfish to shield yourself from other people's needs and wants?
Well, George, that's a very important question because I think many people are taught that it's, in particular women, that it's important to be nice and that part of being nice and being compassionate and caring is taking care of somebody else's needs. And there is a lot of truth to that. And I think that that is a source of tremendous life satisfaction to be able to be caring and connect with other people. But what ends up happening to so many of us, unfortunately, is that in the name of caring and compassion, we end up doing more than we should for other people. And the consequences of that are that we end up feeling burdened, and we end up feeling like our energy is drained, and we end up losing our power, and our self-esteem goes down. And what ends up happening as a result is not only do people feel bad, but there is a very tangible effect in our lives. And the reason that there's such a tangible effect is because our minds and our bodies are very, very intimately connected. So when we have low self-esteem as a result of being burdened by other people's needs, and when we constantly give and give and give, and we're giving too much, and it feels like we're compromising on our integrity with ourselves and our self-caring, our subconscious mind connects with our bodies, and our body begins to reflect the kind of decrease in power and decrease in energy. So what ends up happening is people get sick, people get tired, people have all sorts of ailments and problems. So that's why this is a very important question. So it's not selfish to shield yourself in appropriate ways from other people's needs and wants. So an extreme example is completely cutting yourself off from others and saying, I'm not going to do anything and I don't care about you. And that's obviously over the top. And sometimes people think, well, it's all or nothing. I either have to completely isolate myself and protect myself, or I have to completely open myself up and let people have whatever they ask me for. And it's just not that way. So what is selfishness is being focused on our needs to the exclusion of other people's needs. And selfishness is about fear. Selfishness is about being afraid that there just isn't enough to go around. And that if we give of ourselves, we're going to be left without enough. And it's a kind of withdrawing from life. So a lot of people think of selfishness as a kind of arrogant approach and with a lot of narcissism. Me, 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 me. And it can be, but more often it's people having a sense that if I don't just kind of take things for myself, then I'm going to be in really big trouble because I'm going to be stuck without enough of whatever it is, money or friends or love or energy.
Greg, fear tied in with anger, is that a signal as an attempt that somebody wants to change?
Fear tied in with anger? I'm not sure what you mean.
Let's just, you mentioned fear, but let's just isolate anger.
Sure.
That's a very strong emotion.
Mm.
And is that a message? Is that an internal message, maybe projected outward, that that someone is either attempting to change or perhaps is ready to change?
Well,
good point.
Yeah, it is actually. And what anger is, in terms of evolutionary thinking, for all animals, anger is a response to a threat. And so, when we feel angry about something, it's because we're perceiving a threat. And a lot of times, we perceive those threats subconsciously and we're not even aware of why we're angry, why we're feeling threatened. Some of the ways of responding to negative influences and of claiming your own power have to do with increasing your sensitivity to things around you and how they influence you. So anger is a really good compass to let you know how something is influencing you. If you find yourself angry with something and you take time and sit with that anger, you can get a lot of information about something that may not be very good for you.
Also, I know this from working with patients on a regular basis too. A lot of these issues that we have that sometimes create these angers are sometimes things about ourselves we don't like that we see in someone else. And could you talk about that a minute?
Absolutely. Whenever we have something that we don't like about ourselves, we at some level feel kind of bad about that. And we set up a kind of opposition to it in some way. And it's usually very difficult to admit and to fully see what we don't like about ourselves. It's much, much easier to see those same qualities in somebody else. It's so much easier to focus on whatever it might be, anger, selfishness, you name it, in another person. And so everybody has a tendency to do that. And I'm not sure I completely answered the question.
No, you did. That was very, very well answered. Could you talk also a little bit about energy vampires and what attracts, for example, energy vampires to us? Are we attracting them now? I talk basically when I say this about people that tend to draw the wrong people to them, and this is kind of specific to those people. Why is it that, you know, certain people will say, I just seem to draw these people to me and I don't know how or why I'm doing it. I certainly don't want to. What is it about them, Greg, that you would suggest they need to change so that they are not drawing people to them like this?
Well, Gay, there are two basic reasons that this happens. And by the way, how I'm going to tend to respond to your questions is by giving you a perspective and then going from the perspective to some strategies to deal with it. And then I'd like to talk about specific tools to meet those strategies.
Good.
So the general perspective on energy vampires is that these are people who are needy. They're empty. They're trying to grasp something from somebody else. They are needy in many or some significant different ways. So you recognize these people because they tend to have low energy. Sometimes they have low motivation, but for the things they want from you, they tend to have high motivation. They want you to take the initiative for them. They try to make you responsible for their happiness, for their success or whatever. You get this feeling that they take, and that they're very emotionally needy. And they may be very nice people, but it's kind of like a child trying to drink from a bottle that's empty, and they just keep at it.
Exactly.
And they project the bottle as you. You become their bottle. And so no matter how much you give, it's never enough. So you could end up giving everything you have, ending up on the street and destitute, and it's still not enough. Now, this is a bit of an extreme example. Now, the reason that people who are, quote, energy vampires are attracted to us is because they see that we're willing to give, that we don't necessarily have boundaries.
Right.
Strong enough to say
we're
no.
We're going to pick up on this and continue talking about the energy vampire thing. I think this is very crucial, and I thank you for giving us this information so directly. I think that was very well explained, and we'll pick it up when we come back from our break.
Thank you
all for listening.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to The Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Informative energies exist within our thought atmosphere and beyond. Energy is always exchanging at some level of awareness. On Making It All Click with metatelepath Brian Carlton Flournoy, a group metatelepathic experience is created live on the air. Higher purpose inspires our telepathic improvement through conscious choice. Brian shares how to use intuition co-creatively in order to interpret all kinds of telepathic impressions into information for daily guidance. Through formatted weekly exercises, we practice sending, receiving, and interpreting energy impressions to serve a meaningful purpose. These intuitive experiences range from animal, plant, spirit communication to Akashic record, using nonverbal communication and seeing the invisible through divine eyes. Making It All Click with Brian Carlton Flournoy broadcasts each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
Hi, and we welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Today our guest is Dr. Greg Friedman, and we were in a very interesting discussion about energy vampires and how we can protect ourselves from them. Greg, do you want to pick up on that and continue a little bit about something that affects so many people in so many different realms?
Yes, I would be very happy to, Gay. So we talked a little bit about what an energy vampire is and kind of how to identify somebody who's doing that. And one big clue is how you feel. So many of us are used to discounting our feelings, minimizing them, making excuses for them. Oh, it's just me. And what ends up happening is we end up second-guessing ourselves and setting a pattern and habit of second-guessing ourselves. The more we do that, the more we learn to distrust ourselves. The problem with that is that ourselves, our feelings, are our only compass. So one strategy for being able to protect yourself from people who are going to try to drain your energy is practicing listening to your feelings to develop your intuition, to come to trust that more and more. And this is easier said than done. It is particularly important when you are with somebody who is denying that they're doing this stuff. Because when somebody is draining your energy because they're so needy, and you say, are you draining my energy? Are you trying to drain my energy? They're certainly not going to say, of course I'm trying to drain your energy. I love to drain people's energy. they're going to say, no.
They're going to be in complete denial.
They're going to be in denial.
And defensive.
Yeah. So this is really difficult. If it's somebody you don't know very well, it's much easier to kind of distance yourself and say, well, I'm not going to play that game, and I don't need this person in my life, and I can avoid that person or whatever. But when the person who's draining your energy is very close to you, and you don't have the option so much of physically avoiding that person, say it's a spouse or a parent or a very close friend, then, or actually a good one also is a boss or a coworker who tries to get you to take over a lot of the responsibilities. So it's really important to figure out how do you respond when people are trying to drain your energy? And the most challenging part is that people tend to do this in kind of indirect ways. So somebody's not going to come up to you and say, I'm feeling kind of low on energy today, and can I plug into you and suck you dry?
Greg, how do you deal with others' denial of say negative and hurtful behavior? It's that syndrome of, but that's not what I meant. Is intention involved here, or what's the story?
Well, yes, the denial syndrome is everybody experiences that all the time. So the most important thing is to familiarize yourself with indirect language and denial. Again, we have to come back to becoming more and more able to trust your own senses.
I'd like to comment on that very thing. Many of you out there in the listening audience that are acquainted with Neil Walsh's books, Conversations with God, one of his first books, I believe it was the first one, one of the questions that Neil presented was, how do you know whether the information you're getting from the intuition is right on or not? And the response from God was that it go with how you feel. And I think how you feel is such an important aspect
that oftentimes is ignored when we're making decisions, that we're thinking the answer instead of feeling the answer. So that was a very good point that you brought up, that we need to really kind of target more what is we're actually feeling as opposed to the more analytical view of what we're thinking, because the feeling part is the emotion, the love, the caring coming from our heart. And this happens so often with people in marriages that are in horrible marriages, and they think, well, what would someone think if I leave this marriage, or my family think? And unfortunately what happens is they may be in this energy vampire type of situation in a marriage, and everything just continually going south, and not feeling what they should do, but thinking what they should do. Could you comment on that?
Yes. There are many, many very smart people. If thinking about it worked, we'd have a lot more happy people. So that is so right, that that is not a solution. Our intellect, our cognitive abilities are tools that we can utilize, but we need to utilize them from a kind of higher perspective or a higher understanding that's based on our wisdom and our intuition and a kind of felt sense, a kind of knowing. It's important to be able to cultivate that process. So one of the problems when somebody is asking you to do stuff and maybe giving you a guilt trip and pulling your strength is to have a moment of pause between what somebody's doing, which is the stimulus, and how you respond. So the way that we can make different choices is to create a kind of pause between what happens in our lives and how we respond. Because we're so used, most of us are so used to reacting right away and habitually, that we don't have a built-in pause, because it's in that space between stimulus and response where choice exists. And our greatest asset is our choice. But we can't exert choice if we don't have a kind of awareness or perspective or distance on what's happening.
Greg, could that awareness come from a subconscious level, and the idea being that there are no neutral feelings there?
Can you ask me that a little differently? I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
The subconscious mind, there would be no neutral feelings existing there, that
right.
It would be equated with inner resources, our inner creative resources, and by taking the pause that you suggested, we give those resources time to surface.
Yes. Yes, very much. And that is one of the principles of, as you well know, George, of hypnotherapy, is that we help program the subconscious mind to have a kind of pause and then have a different response. So we have tremendous resources. We have knowing. We have seen people whose behavior we want to emulate. So we have models for how to respond to most situations in very healthy ways. The problem is that a lot of these resources are stored in the subconscious, and we don't have easy access to them. So pausing allows these resources to kind of naturally bubble up to the surface.
And getting quiet in the pause, where we're allowing the old saying, let go and let God, oftentimes is that pause that brings forth that insight that I'm sure we can all in this audience think of times when we have been kind of exasperated about a situation, and we have gone into that the gap, that pause, and just ask for some kind of intuitive feel. And it oftentimes comes, and when it comes, Deepak Chopra talks about this a lot. Write it down, remember it, go to it, follow through with it, because that's usually some divine information coming through the consciousness.
That's, yes, absolutely. So again, that comes back to learning to trust our intuition. And that involves practicing intuition. So what we're talking about is actually fairly theoretical and kind of abstract, but what it comes down to in terms of actually making a difference in somebody's life is practicing it. So practicing pausing is basically practicing mindfulness.
Exactly.
And, mindfulness creates the ability to respond intentionally instead of react automatically. And what it does, like I said, it does this by creating a pause between stimulus and response. And now, according to the University of Massachusetts Mindfulness Center, not exactly the name of it, but that's pretty close, they talk about mindfulness as being a way of learning to relate directly to what is happening in your life. And therefore, it's a way of taking charge of your life and a way of doing something for yourself that no one else can do for you. And that's actually very important, because with all of this, a lot of people will go to therapists and say, please, I've got this problem. Can you fix me? And unfortunately, too many therapists say, sure, I'll try to fix you. But a good therapist will teach you ways of being able to fix yourself, help you change your perspective to take more personal responsibility. Because ultimately, when a therapist just tries to work on you, it disempowers you.
That's a very, very good point. We're going to go to break here right now, and we will come back with Dr. Greg Friedman, our guest speaker today on Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back in a few.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Hilton welcoming this global audience today back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Our guest today is Dr. Greg Friedman, a medical doctor and a clinical hypnotherapist, and we've had a quite stimulating conversation concerning a variety of different aspects of empowerment and how we need to empower ourselves to prevent energy vampires from attacking us, literally drawing our energy from us. And we know people are in marriages where this type of situation takes place. We have personal friends that may be doing this to us. We have family members that may be doing this to us. And, Greg, probably one of the first things we should talk about is, first of all, we have to have love for ourselves and empowerment in our being before we can avoid some of these things. Because if you're self-empowered and you love yourself and you have a good opinion of yourself, you usually intuitively just don't allow these kind of people to surround you. But what would you say to people that really are kind of a victim of these type of situations?
Well, Gay, I would say that what you said about loving yourself is very important. And I think it would be almost offensive for me to just tell people love yourself, because that's kind of telling somebody to do something without saying how. So it's important to actively do exercises to develop your own power and your own self-love. So what I think is one very good strategy is to begin to seek out people who are empowered. And when you're around people who are empowered, who have high self-esteem, who are behaving in ways that you'd like to behave, it rubs off. So one example is somebody walks into a room and they're feeling down. You can feel it tangibly. It kind of begins to suck you down. Somebody walks into a room and they're strong and powerful and excited, and they can say yes to what they want and no to what they want. You feel that too. So one approach is to begin to seek out communities of people that are likely to be doing that. We have what you spoke about, The Secret, and I believe that there are discussion groups on The Secret. There are discussion groups based on other empowerment-based movies like What the Bleep. There are groups for things like Course of Miracles. There are a bunch of community classes on what's called New Thought, and they talk about technologies and methods for creating the kind of experience that you want, and everybody's motivated, and you pick up on that. It could be one time a week, and it makes a huge difference. Another kind of thing is to practice grounding. So what grounding is about connecting you with your own feeling of strength, because when you don't feel strong, you can have a kind of self-love, but it's sort of weakened, and it's more of almost a self-pity or a sentimental self-love, not a powerful and passionate self-love that leads to healthy action. So grounding can be done with a variety of imagery exercises and some physical exercises. One kind of physical exercise is simply to set your feet, 18 inches apart or whatever, bend your legs, and feel the strength in your thighs. And if you need to bend them a little bit more, to really feel yourself exerting force against the ground. Bring your attention to the feeling of the strength in your legs. And that is very grounding, and it connects you with a part of you that has strength and has efficacy. Your legs allow you to move. Your legs allow you to stand. Those metaphors are very important. Now, for somebody who is, let's say, in a wheelchair, they would focus on maybe something else. They would focus on the strength in their arms to push themselves. So that's a physical kind of exercise. Imagery exercises for grounding, there are many of them, but one that I like and actually use on a daily basis myself is either standing or sitting, feeling your feet on the ground, imagining roots going from the bottoms of your feet down into the earth, down, down, and connecting with the center of the earth. You can imagine the center of the earth as a kind of ball of golden energy, and those roots that go into that center of the earth energy begin to pull it up, pulling the energy up through the roots into your feet. And you can imagine that there's a kind of tingling or vibrating sensation as this energy moves into your feet. And then imagine it, golden energy, moving up through your calves, through your knees, your legs, feeling it energizing your legs, your connection, your source of strength. And then imagining it move throughout your whole body. Now, some people can do that and actually have a visual image of a kind of golden energy. Some people do better by imagining it as this kind of vibrating, powerful sound. Some people do it best by just feeling it, just having a sensation of it. And, of course, the more of those you can do, the more effective it is. So I just wanted to give you a couple of concrete ways of connecting with your own power.
Greg, what a wonderful way to connect with Earth's loving vibration and to be able to use our own tools of visual and auditory and kinesthetic touch. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
How do the two of you, both being hypnotherapists, deal with anyone that would be listening in who would say this is New Agey, occult, not of God, and fear-based? These are usually people, by the way, that are fear-based, that everything is black or white. But how do you deal with that when you have individuals that might be listening in that might be wondering exactly what is hypnotherapy? And we do know it's recognized, but how can you, what would your input be on that?
Do you want to feel that one, George, first?
Greg, you go ahead.
Okay. The first thing I want to mention is about the, some people have this fear that hypnosis is magical and it's not Christian, and I think that that's a legitimate concern. So what I'd like to do is first mention a website, and I believe it's www.trinityhypnosis.com. It's the website of Paul Durbin, D-U-R-B-I-N, and he is a pastor and actually a brigadier general in the Army.
Excellent site.
And he has spent his life doing hypnotherapy, as well as looking into the relationship between hypnotherapy and Christianity. So what I just want to say about that is that hypnotherapy may have this kind of strange name, but a lot of Christian prayer is based on connecting with a sense of God and projecting your intention out and kind of inviting God in to support it, which is very, very much like what we do in hypnotherapy. We use different words. We tend to keep it more secularized just because we're not pastors, but there's a tremendous overlap. So I invite anybody who's more interested in that topic to look at that website. And could you remind me again of the second part of the conversation, that question?
The people sometimes are fear-based.
That's right.
And they tend to feel that anything dealing with going to the intuitive self is not of God. And could you comment on that?
Right. Well, everybody has a kind of feeling sense. It is truly part of the gift that we're given by God.
That's right.
And for those who don't believe in God, then that's part of our human heritage. But it's not something funky or new age. As a matter of fact, martial arts practitioners, whether it's people in the East, fighters in the West, rely on a kind of inner intuition to respond to their opponent. And this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. So people who are trying to be the most effective in whatever they're doing end up coming to intuition. Now, if you want to be effective in business, you connect with your gut feeling, your
That's
sense
right.
of what's going on. Ask any successful businessman or woman. If you want to be successful as a therapist, you need to have a kind of intuition or a feeling sense about what people are doing. So connecting with that is a tremendous, tremendous resource. And there are even, as far as I understand, some military applications of that kind of sensitivity for training, because the more connected somebody is with their own feelings, again, like I said, the more effective they are. So this is more of an empirical finding. It's not just somebody's cool idea.
The other thing that's quite interesting, and this is kind of brought up in The Secret, too, and a lot of books dealing with intuition, that, and I'm one that believes this way, that this intuition that we have is God's message to us. It's kind of our way of knowing this is the right feel, this feels good, this is God giving me some directives. And when we oftentimes, if those of you that might be listening want to compare, think in terms of when you've made decisions based on fear, and then compare those to decisions you've based on your own intuitive feel. And I think if you compare the decision making that you made with your fears, you'll notice that many times they were the wrong decisions. Where when you get into your intuitive self, your feeling self, again, I emphasize the word feeling, what feels right, not what you think is right, but what feels right. Oftentimes that has a much, much more pleasant response in the way things occur.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. When we come back after our break, I want to offer people a couple of guidelines to support doing some of the things we've talked about.
Great, Greg. And we welcome you all to our listening audience to come back in a few, and we'll continue on with Dr. Greg Friedman.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to The Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Thoughts are things. Mind creates. The quality of your thoughts and feelings impacts everything in your life. So how do you access your power to change? On Theater of the Mind with Kelly Howell, you'll get unprecedented access to some of the world's leading visionaries and consciousness researchers, exploring mind expansion, intuition, creativity, and the many facets of human potential. Expand your knowledge of the body-mind connection and learn how to tap into the other 90% of your potential. Visit Theater of the Mind online at kellyhowell.com. That's KellyHowell.com.
Theater of the Mind is brought to you by BrainSync CDs and MP3 downloads for peak performance and mind expansion. Visit BrainSync.com. That's BrainSync.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at gjuhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
We welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest today, Dr. Greg Friedman, who is a medical doctor and a hypnotherapist, clinical hypnotherapist at that. We've been talking about a variety of different realms dealing with self-empowerment, trying to keep ourselves away from those that we call quote-unquote energy vampires. And Greg's been giving us some very unique techniques with respect to how to not only empower ourselves, but cue into our intuition. Greg, I'm going to give it back to you.
Great. Thank you, Gay. Well, before the break, I had said that I wanted to share a few guidelines for how to do some of the things we're talking about. And one guideline, and I wanted to speak most about differentiating fear from wisdom. The reason is because it's very hard for people. And so many people have the question, how do I know what I feel, if what I feel is wisdom, or if what I feel is just me being afraid? Because they're both feelings. So the way comes back to practice. But what it is that you need to practice in order to do this is the question. And one answer is to begin to start small. When there's a situation about which you have a little bit of fear, you can kind of sit with your fear, go into the feeling, become very familiar with what the fear feels like. And if it's a very small fear, then you can, in your mind, kind of take in, well, maybe take in a few deep breaths, step back from the fear, and then check into other ways that your body may be feeling.
Greg,
about the situation.
I just want to interject something on that note. This is really another form of power, as I see it, because you are observing as opposed to identifying with that fear.
That's very true. And this kind of an exercise allows you to step away from the fear. Now, sometimes you want to hear fear and you want to respond to fear, because sometimes there are dangerous situations and fear is appropriate. But then you don't just have fear. You have your overall body is kind of giving you a yes response about the fear. This is definitely something to act from. But if you begin with really intense situations, it's overwhelming. So you have to begin with small situations. One easy way to do that is not wait until you actually have a situation confront you, but instead work with your imagination. Imagine a situation that's kind of scary, just a little bit scary, so you can kind of feel that fear, practice feeling it, and then stepping back from it, usually through taking a deep breath, and then maybe doing one of the grounding exercises.
One of the exercises that I would like to comment that I use with some of my patients, when I test meridians, acupuncture points, and they're weak, and they're all weak, and they're obviously very frustrated about something, I'll have them
on the table, go into what they call the tap position, where you take your dominant hand, you take your thumb and your fourth finger and go into the very corner of your eye towards your nose, and then take your middle finger and put it between your eyebrows, and then take the non-dominant hand, put it at the nape of the neck. And very similar to what you're saying, Greg, we ask them to go into whatever it is that is creating fear in their life. Look at it, face it, and as they face it and they go into that experience, whether imagining that they're facing their fear, this actually impacts the acupuncture system in a very positive way, because what it does is it releases the negative fears.
Well, you know what's interesting, too, about that, Gay, in Chinese medicine, people who are consumed by fear and panic as an emotional reaction, or perhaps having too many responsibilities, might develop kidney problems.
Absolutely. And these points that they're holding while they're in this position are actually acupoints. And as you're holding and putting that intention of thought towards releasing the fear is actually released, and I've seen this time in and time out after we've had them go through this acupoint position, that when I retest, the acupoints are very strong. So that's one kind of great way of defining the fact that the mind and body are one.
Yes, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that is also the kind of intervention that somebody can do themselves to support what we're talking about. There's a whole field opening up. It's been opened up for a little while now, of energy psychology.
Exactly.
And so energy psychology utilizes, for the most part, the principles of Chinese medicine and the acupressure or acupuncture points. And so people can tap or hold these points to stimulate whatever it is that they're trying to do, either move past fear, connect with empowerment, and then certain points and meridians are connected more with some specific kinds of issues. And I'm sure George can speak to that more. But some of these, like emotional freedom technique,
right,
is one that's very popular. Donna Eden, I believe that's her name, has a series of cards and teachings to support yourself energetically. And I'm sure I know there are many others.
When we're talking about these systems, too, we understand these systems, but to the general listener, sometimes they're not sure how this works in a clinical practice. But what we're discussing, when we're talking about vibration and energy, we're talking about the electromagnetic energy that flows through this body of ours that we know does exist. And for those that might question it, the first thing they do when someone is dying is check their brain waves with an EEG or an EKG to see if the heart's still working properly. And so we know that we are basically electrical. But the Chinese, over 4,000 years ago, designed a whole system based on meridian energies or channels of life force that they called qi. And these acupoints are related to those. And so this is the whole basis for energy medicine, is the Chinese system and also, to some great degree, the chakra system of the East Indians, each of which have the oldest medical systems in the world. We're talking over 5,000 years ago.
It applies to the multidimensional human energy system.
Exactly. We are not just a physical being with pathogens, that we are a electrical being with thoughts affecting the body, our environment affecting the body, in vibrational aspects. And that's what this whole show's essentially about, is how our food, our environment, and our thoughts are affecting this energy field, which is, as we know, is quite popular right now. We're going to cut to break, and we're going to come back with Dr. Greg Friedman for more conversations about the intuition and energy with respect to the mind and the body. Thank you for listening.
Hope you enjoyed today's show. Good vibes, bad vibes. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, and discover how you can be empowered in our vibrational world.